Romans chapter 2 and verse 7 is where we'll begin this evening. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. We'll start at verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Once again, back in verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, patient continuance in well-doing is the idea that I want to get across to us today. We see in our text the importance of patience. It's simply an essential. There is no heaven without our patient continuance in well-doing and our patient waiting for the coming of our Lord. We also see times in our lives when we fail to exhibit patience. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul sets out some essentials. We see that he says in this particular passage, pray without ceasing. It takes patience to do that. It takes patience to continue in something of that nature. We also are not to grow weary in well-doing. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Paul writes, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. We must not faint. That is, grow tired and fall out. We've seen and heard of people who are on long marches. Long marches that perhaps they were forced. Perhaps it was something that you had to do in your youth. Perhaps it was something that you had to do in the military. But there are always people that are going to fall out, either from disinterest or because they did not have the endurance to make it all the way, whether mentally or physically. They fainted. They were left behind. They had to find their way home another way. They grew weary in well-doing. Paul commands us not to grow weary in well-doing. We have to have patience. Sometimes patience is difficult. In the earliest times of our lives, we grow impatient for special days. Christmas is coming. Birthday is coming. Halloween is coming. Easter is coming. Special days that we know that they're going to be treats. And so we are bugging our parents. Is Easter tomorrow? No, it's 2 weeks away. How about my birthday? When is my birthday going to be here? Well, you know when your birthday is. Why don't you just be patient? Can't be patient. I'm too wired to be patient. And so you bug your parents. And you know that they're being bugged, but it doesn't seem like you can help it. But you finally learn how to be patient because there's no other way around it. You have to be patient because time doesn't go any faster just for you. We have to have patience when it comes to salvation because it's all in God's good time. We have to have patience when it comes to our spiritual maturity because we're not in control of that. We are mature when God says we're mature. We go through times of trial that cause us to become more mature. Some even fail to remain faithful. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. I'd like to know more about the Hebrews writer. Some say that it was Paul. Some say that it was Barnabas. And there are others that are suggested for it. I'd simply like to satisfy some questions that I have about it. But we're not left with that. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That's the whole thing with the book of Hebrews, Some were leaving the faith because things were getting too hard. So they were going back to the Jewish faith, Judaism. They were leaving behind the comfort of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his headship and his high priesthood. They were leaving it behind or about to do so, going back to what was comfortable. But the Hebrews writer says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Unto the end. We know we don't always have patience. And so we ask the question. We know that we need it. We ask the question, how do we develop it? How does it come about? I want patience because I don't want to lose out on my reward in heaven. So we need to know, how do we develop patience? It begins with obedience. There is no patience without obedience. You have to simply focus on God's word and do that. It may not be everything that we need with regard to patience, but it's the start. We make a decision to be patient. We know that we're not going to get heaven right now, unless Jesus is coming over the horizon right now. Could be, but it might be 10,000 years. We simply don't know. So we have to be patient. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. After the day of Pentecost, they continued. That is, the Christians that became Christians on that day, the apostles and others that were waiting for the coming of the Lord. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. What did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Once again, they continued steadfastly. Patience begins with obedience, and we make a decision in order to be patient. In order to gain the victory, we must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Of course, that whole of the book of this chapter of 1 Corinthians tells us about the resurrection, how that Jesus was resurrected, and how that we have a hope of resurrection. Shows us just a little bit, just opens the veil, and shows us what's to come. In verse 58, we read, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." In other words, be patient, keep obeying, keep on doing the right thing. This is where patience starts. If you never do that, you can never be said to be patient. Never. We must be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 has been quoted so many times as our duty, but I think we need to put ourselves in the place of those first century Christians. They were going through some horrible times. They were seeing their friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, even husbands and wives. They were seeing loss. They were going to be imprisoned. They were going to be persecuted. They knew that they might not make it through the week, the day, the month, the year, that persecution and hard times was coming. What were they told? "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." Notice, thou shalt suffer. Don't fear those things. That is, when you come up against them, don't shirk in your duty, because it's still a duty. "Fear none of those things that thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Notice what Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't just whisper in their ears, "You know, there's persecution coming. Maybe you should lay low for a while." No, he says, "Be thou faithful unto death. And having done that, expect that crown of life." This is what patience begins with. It begins with obedience. Hearing the Lord's word and saying, "Yes, Lord, thy servant heareth." Getting up and going, doing that which the Lord has bid you. We know we don't always have patience, but so how do we develop it? How do we acquire patience? It begins with obedience. We must be faithful unto death. Obedience is coupled with a promise. Revelation 3, verse 21. Revelation 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, what is it to sit in a throne? Well, you're in power if you sit in a throne. You sit with Jesus. You're certainly not the lowly of that scene. You're certainly not someone who has no rights and privileges, whatever you want to call this scene. You can see that you're no second-class citizen. You're no serf. You are you're not a nobody. You are with Jesus in his throne. If you overcome, patience is required. Chapter 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. It's what makes it work. What makes the plan of salvation work? We have to obey, and we have to be patient. Overcoming involves patience. It involves obedience. And it also continues with edification. We use that word often, one of the three things that the church does, benevolence, edification, and preaching of the gospel. That's the work of the church in its totality. But what is that edification? You've seen that word edification, edifice. It's a building. And edification is a building project to take someone who has no faith, to giving them the information that they need to survive spiritually so that they can obey the gospel and go from being a Barney Fife, little bitty, no meat on his bones Christian to someone who's like the Hulk in his Christianity, able to do anything that is required by God, able to say, follow me, and people will follow, able, willing, and not going to stop, a force to be dealt with. That's the kind of person we need to become, but edification is what makes that happen. Paul's example edifies us. And 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and following. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and following. When the Apostle Paul became a Christian, the Lord said he was going to show him the things that he must suffer. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, we read about the kind of life that he had to live in order to stay a Christian. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times. Five times. We can't imagine it being one. We can't imagine one stripe. But five times, 40 minus one. They're not allowed to go to 40. They had to stop at 39 in case they missed one. But 39 stripes. These were things that hurt, that peeled the skin back. These were blows to be dealt with. These hurt. 40 times, save one, five times. Can we imagine that in our life? To have to spend a week recovering after things of that nature, maybe longer. Maybe he never got over it. Have no idea. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Journeyings often, perils of waters, and perils of robbers, and perils by mine own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils of in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness, and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. This was the life of our Apostle Paul. This was the life of one, and I think it's only mitigated in intensity because he never saw Shark Week, and I know that you did. A night and a day in the deep. Can you imagine it? It would be difficult for all of us. Patience continues with edification. You know, it's a lot easier to get something done. It's a lot easier to endure when you know that someone has endured before you. They have blazed the trail. They have made it to the other side. Paul did that, and he built us up. We can look at him, and we can say, well, he went through the pain. He went through the suffering. He went through the sorrow. Someone else, namely me, we can do it too. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 takes on new meaning. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. His attitude was, I am crucified with Christ. And so must ours be. He was built up to that point by meeting with Jesus himself, by meeting with the apostles, by living with Barnabas for a time. Barnabas, that encourager. His expectation, having been patient. We come to the end of the life of the Apostle Paul, and we go to some of his last words that we have recorded. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Yes, this is that passage where he tells all the gospel preachers, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's where he tells Timothy and all of us as well, our duty, what we need to do in order to please God. Verses 6 through 8, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Edification. He needed to build up Timothy, and he builds us up with these words as well. If we are faithful, there is a reward at the end. He says, I've been faithful. I have fought that good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He says, I've done it. You can do it too. The reward that I receive is there for you too, if you keep the faith, if you finish your course. Paul says, it's up to us, because nothing else can separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. In the still of the night, if you need encouragement, things are not going right, go to a passage such as this. You'll never fail to leave without being edified. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can be victorious. At the end of all your trouble, you can still see Jesus. If we are faithful, patience begins with obedience. It continues with edification. We are built up by those that have gone on before and have left messages for us that we can do it ourselves. Christ's example also edifies us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. That Hebrews writer once again wants to communicate to those that are about to, or seemingly about to leave the Christian faith, go back to Judaism, and he tells them to refocus You need to get your eyes off of perhaps the hard times to come, off of those things that are difficult, and on to Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice what he's commanding us to do. He tells us, people are watching. Witnesses are watching. Those who saw the Lord crucified are watching. Those that have gone on before are watching. You and me. He says also, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The focal point. Who is the focal point? Is it me? No. Is it the one sitting beside you? No. We are here to focus on someone else. We're to focus on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. The one who created it. The one who commands it. The one who ends it. He is that one who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When things are hard, we need to remember who has gone on before, that our Lord is at the end of our life's path, that we need to go to be with him. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, edified, built up, no longer the skinny non-entity of faith, but the force of nature who heads toward eternity. Our brethren today edify us. We look to each other. We look to those that are faithfully teaching. We look to those that are going and edifying others. We look to those that are trying to find ways to make this church strong. We look to each other and find someone serving and not simply those that are sitting in a pew. But how do we get patience? I'm not sorry to tell you this. I suppose some might think that I should be. But patience finishes with trial. You cannot get patience without being tested. You cannot get to the end of that which is difficult without the trial. I know we've looked at the Olympic Games and difficult athletic events. This afternoon, people were playing football, and if you've never played football, you don't know how difficult it is to do. Maybe they make it look easy, but there's a reason why it looks easy to them. Because they have felt the pain. Because they have gone through the practices. Because they have been screamed at by their coaches to get it right. Because they have practiced and practiced and practiced both mentally and physically in order to make it look easy. We look at wonder at some of the quarterbacks of time past, that how they, it seems like they've lost the game, but then all of a sudden it's won. Did they do that without trial? No. We go to bring our minds to the Olympic Games and some of these men that can take seemingly a quarter of a ton and lift it over their heads and then drop it. We didn't see them when they were up to 100 pounds or 200. We didn't see all the times they missed before. We didn't see the times when they had injuries because of the things that they did. We didn't see the times when they lost the contest. We didn't see all those things, but they're back there. You can't go through that kind of physical trial. You can't go through that kind of stress on your body without a lot behind it. We see the men and women who are on the ice skating rink, and we don't see those difficult jumps they did, how probably a year ago they were landing on the ice on their behinds and hurting themselves. We didn't see all that, but it's there. We didn't see all those times when the sprinters lost the race or the mile runners just ran out of gas. We didn't see all that, but it happened. In order to become a champion, in order to be able to even finish the race, they went through trial. Christians are going to be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, we are assured that it's going to happen. Oh, here in America, we don't get persecuted like the first century Christians did, or like many Christians around the world even are today. This minute, someone is giving up his life for his faith. There are those in the country of India who will attack you if you are in a church building. It doesn't happen everywhere all the time, but in isolated places, people are losing their lives because someone didn't like what they were told. They didn't like being told that their religion was false. So in the dead of night, they murder and maim for their faith, but a Christian is persecuted for his own faith. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution is in different levels. Someone is going to laugh at you. Someone is going to cause you to lose your job. It's going to happen. Someone is going to ridicule you. It's going to happen. What are you going to do when that happens? Well, I'll never speak up for my faith again. Many will put it that way, but they'll never do that again. But we don't lose our commission. Our commission remains. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Christians are going to be persecuted. And it takes trial to make a Christian perfect or complete in Christ. James knew this and told us about it. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You don't stand in victory without the pain. There is no Father Abraham without God telling him, get thee out of thy country unto a land that I will show thee. There is no Father Abraham, no example for us. If he didn't walk those steps 800 miles by the speed of the slowest animal in his flock, there is no Father Abraham without the drought. There is no Father Abraham without all the trials that he went through. No Father Abraham with, take now thy son and offer him there. There's no prophet Moses without standing before Pharaoh and saying, thus saith the Lord my God, let my people go. Can you imagine it? Before an ancient king who could, with a look, cause your head to roll, standing before him and saying, thus saith Jehovah, let my people go. There is no Joshua without the battles in Canaan. There is no David without Goliath and his flights from Saul. No Daniel without the lion's den. No apostles without persecutions. And no Jesus without the cross. Patience finishes with trial. Imagine any of these people without the trials that they had to go through. Would you be looking up to them and reading about them thousands of years later? No. How do you acquire patience? It begins with obedience. Your determination, I'm going to follow Jesus. And it continues with edification. You learning about the trials and tribulations that others had and determining that you can do that too. Continuing on. And it ends with trial. It ends with a beheaded Saul. It ends with Jesus on the cross. That's how it works. You can't be perfect without trial, and you can't go to heaven unless you're perfect. That is complete. That is equipped for every good work. This evening, perhaps you've received some things that you didn't know about before, and you want salvation. And you now know that it requires some things, some growth on your part, in order to stand complete before God. We must be baptized for the remission of our sins. That's that obedience part. You begin your Christian life by obeying the same commands that first century Christians obey. When Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins," that was the start. But then the people needed to be edified. And they looked at those apostles that preached and withstood the power of the Sanhedrin. They looked at those apostles who went through so many trials, and they learned from it. They listened to more commands, and they obeyed those. And then they underwent their own trials. They became perfect, and they were acceptable to God in heaven. And if you need to start on that path today, because you do want to go to heaven, you want a crown of righteousness, you want a home with Jesus in heaven, today you need to obey. That's the beginning of patience. And if you have not, now is your opportunity. We can baptize you for the remission of sins, and you can be clean and stand before God justified. You can look at all those that have gone on before and head on your march toward heaven's gate. Perhaps you've once done that, but you've looked away. You've taken your eye off Jesus. You're about to go back, perhaps, like those Hebrew Christians that we've read about today. Focus on Him again. Change your focus to the Lord. Be edified by those that are around you, those that are fighting, to stay patient, continuing in well-doing. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing.